with me to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles. I'd like to say, as the beginning of the message, and we'd just like to say Happy Father's Day to each one. It's a father here. A lot of times sometimes maybe the fathers don't get as much attention on Father's Day as the women mothers get on Mother's Day. But fathers still like to be shown appreciated. Amen. They still like that pat on the back. A little bit, amen. Sometimes the manliness comes out of us, you know, and we're rough and tough and don't need all that. But real men still like to be appreciated and show a little thankfulness. And I just want to say Happy Father's Day to each one. Amen. I appreciate what God, the fathers God has given to us in this church, and their faithfulness to their families and what they have done. And I believe great things is going to come. Amen. And I want to share a little bit this evening. I don't know if you call it a Father's Day message, but it's the Word of the Lord. And it might be addressed a little bit more to the men, not necessarily just fathers, but men in general. But the points are going to be good for the ladies too. It's the Word of God, and if we all live according to God's Word, we're all going to do good. Amen? And kind of going to maybe address it more to the men. And I believe, church, if we do not have strong men, you won't have a strong church. If we don't have strong men, we won't have a strong nation. And I believe that's why we're failing. It's not the women's fault, it's the men's fault. Because we don't have strong men. And we need to get back to that so desperately in our churches and in our nation, in our worlds. We need to get back to strong men, godly leadership. And I want to share some things along that line this morning. Just a few points I want to bring out in the Word of the Lord. I had heard earlier this week on the radio, and I wish I had some of the statistics that they had given. Well, they just gave out some figures, some percentages, results of not having strong fathers. Children being raised without a fatherly figure. And the percentage of a lot of those children ended up in prison and things along those lines was very high. And that's why it's very important that we need to have godly men. I know a lot of times that the father forsakes the family, and the mother has to do the best she can. And I know that's a very hard thing for a mother to have to do that. And she can do what she can do with the help of the Lord. But God intended for the father to be there too, and to be a part of that. And when you don't have that godly figure, and they gave just statistics of a family, a father who was a Christian, it was more likely for the children to attend church and to serve God as they grew in life. But when you had the parents that did not serve God, the percentage was way low that the children would attend church or serve God. And there was even a big difference in the percentage of having a Christian mother, whether the children would be faithful to God compared to if you had a Christian father, if the children would be faithful to God. So it just shows us and lets us know that it's very important that we have godly men in this hour. And it's something that is scarce and is lacking, and we need godly men. If you'll take your Bibles, go with me and stand to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 13. First Chronicles chapter 9, verse 13. And their brethren, heads of the house of their fathers, 1,703, very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. I want to share from that last phrase there. very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. Can you say amen to God's word?
Amen.
You may be seated. And I wanted to share on just on that verse, that thoughts. Very able men. Very able men. If you read 1 Chronicles, if you'll notice chapter 9, verse 1, it deals with and tells us, lets us know what's going on. So all Israel was reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away into Babylon for their transgression. Not too many people have really probably read the first 8 chapters of this book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles. It deals with just a lot of genealogy, which is important for us. We need to know these things. It helps us give a time frame, helps us to know some bloodlines along this. But it's not something that you hear a lot of preaching from, these first 8 chapters of Chronicles. Not a lot of time to spend on. But when you get into chapter 9 and you get into verse 13, I thought it was a very interesting verse. And he tells us, for able men for the work of the service of the house of God. And he speaks about men here being in the service and being prepared, being able to do the work that they needed to do. And this is something that we are lacking in today in our society. Able men. A lot of times men are belittled today with your commercials, your TV shows, cartoons, a lot of things. Your men are belittled. A lot of times you deal with men as, and you think of them as just sports bums, drunks, fishing all the time. That's all they want to do is fish and hunt and things along that line. Now, I'm sure there's men that fall into that category. But that's not, that shouldn't be so. And I don't believe that's all mankind or all men. That shouldn't say that that's all of us are like that, because we're not. There is men who love God and who want to do right. But the problem is we're beginning to be the minority. We're the few of those who want to take a stand for what's right, who want to commit themselves completely to the work of the Lord, and who want to give themselves to their family and to their God. And you're finding that it's hard to find in society men who will take a stand for what is right and be completely committed. I had read just a little article, just a little humorous article, a little story, and it had in that story a picture of a pig and a chicken. And they were walking down the road and they came to a church, and on the church sign it said, "Help us feed the poor this Saturday," or something like that. And just two little cartoon characters. And the pig and the chicken walked along. They saw that when they came up to that. The chicken said, "We ought to help feed the poor this Saturday. We'll give them bacon and eggs to feed the poor." And the pig, he thought about that a second. He speaks up and he says, "Well, the only problem with that is, and having bacon and eggs to feed the poor," is he looking to the chicken and he says, "Chicken," says, "all you got to do is make a little contribution. I've got to give a complete commitment to it." And he thought that was a little unfair. And I thought that was a little humorous, but that is so true. You have a lot of people want to give just a little contribution, but nobody wants to make a complete surrenderance to the cause. Nobody wants to give themselves completely. They don't mind a little contribution. "Let me give a little bit. I'll help a little bit here. But give my entire life to this? I don't know. That's going a little too far." And a lot of men do not want to do that. They want to have the ability to do what they want to do and do these things. But I believe in this hour is so important that God is trying to call men to come back to what their real calling is, to get back into the line according to God's word and stand up for the truth, stand up for what's right, and raise your children according to God's word and make a change in this hour. And I hope this morning, as I share a few points, it will just encourage you men, and ladies also, you have your place too, and society and the family in the church, you have your place too. Nobody's going to throw our ladies out either. It takes a team effort, and we'll be talking about that. But God has given each one a role. God has given each one a job, a duty, and we have to do our part, church. And when we have to cross those lines to get the job done, I don't believe it works right. I don't believe it's what God intended. We have to take our part in the work of the Lord's. We have to be men that are willing to give themselves to the cause, to the work. If you'll go with me, I'm going to be sharing some scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll turn over there. Isaiah chapter 6 is a familiar passage that we deal with quite often in Scripture. And a lot of times we go over these verses and we just kind of just read through them and things. But I want to point out a couple things here. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, you're familiar with this story. In verse 1, Uzziah died and he sees the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. This is our powerful God we serve. And he talks about how above it stood the seraphims and what they was doing. In verse 3, they cried unto another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And the whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of our God's glory. Notice in verse 4, "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." That's our mighty God that we serve, church. It shakes the post. These are not just posts. These are pillars, and it shakes them, and the whole house is moved with just the presence of the Lord. And Isaiah is there. And when you get down to verse 8, notice there he says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me." The response to Isaiah was, and one the first point I want to make, is that he was a man of availability. He was a man that was willing to be available for the work of the Lord. If we're going to see anything accomplished, if we're going to see anything done, church, we got to make ourselves available. We got to make ourselves available if we are going to go forth. We can get busy and caught up with the things that we do in our own life, our own job, our own families. And we get caught up in those things, church. And we do not make ourselves available for the work of the Lord. He was willing to make himself available when the call came. He said, "Here I am, Lord." Notice in your Bibles, I want to just give one little plug for the Trinity. If you'll notice in that verse, he says, "Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send?" Notice there in that part, he says, whom shall I send? Kind of referring to one. But then when you get into the next part of that sentence, he says, "And who will go for us?" Indicating that there's more than one in the Trinity. Who will go for us? Indicating that all of the Trinitarian was concerned about mankind and about the situation. The God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost was all concerned. And they was all asking the question, who will go for us? And Isaiah, he was willing to take a stand and stand up and said, "I am here, send me, I will go." But if we're not careful, church, we'll get so busy that we'll not be able to do what the Lord has called us to do. You say, "Well, I'm not a minister, I'm not a preacher, I don't have a calling." Each man has something that God has given them to do. Some ability, some gift, some talent, some calling. There is always the work of the Lord. There's always something each man can do. And something I believe in this hour is something that's really oppressing upon men today is our time and the cares of life are overwhelming us a lot of time. And in society, it seems like you have to go, go, go to stay above water. But I'm telling you, we got to be careful we don't let these things overcome us. Amen. Jesus warned us about the sowing of the seed, and he talked about the cares of life coming. And if we're not careful, church, it will overcome us and it will choke us, and we will not be able to function, church, and go forwards. We got to be men that's available. But now I got this to do. I've got to do. I'm already involved in this. I'm already doing this. I wrote down several things here of different men that God called them to do a work, and they was already busy doing something else. They was already busy doing work, but they had to stop what they was doing, church, and go forward and do what God had called them. You have Moses. He was tending the flocks of Horeb. You have Gideon. He was threshing wheat when the Lord called him to go forth and to take the army. You have even Saul. He was out searching for mules. He was out looking for mules at that time when God called him. You have Elijah. He was busy in the field of plowing. You have Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer for the king. You have even into the New Testament, you have James and John. They were busy mending their nets when the Lord came by and called them and told them to follow me. You have Matthew. He was busy being a tax collector when the Lord came to him and told him to follow him. So that's just a small list of men who were busy doing things, but the Lord called them of a greater calling and told them to come and do these things. Now I understand that we have to work, we have to labor, we have to provide for our families. But we got to have a balance in this church. We got to have a balance in that. Because there is the work of the Lord's. And we have to make ourselves available for what God has called us to do. And we have to be willing to say, here I am, Lord. If you send me, I am willing to go. God, it doesn't necessarily say God's going to call you to Africa or God's going to call you to Mexico. What if God just calls you, and Brother Al talked about in our Sunday school, what if God just calls you to go to a neighbor or to go to someone who's in need or someone who is hurt, someone who needs some help doing this? What if God just calls you to do that? Are you available to do it? We get this fear, God's going to send me to Africa or something like that. No. God may just send you across the roads. Amen. But how many men are not even willing to do that? Amen. So we got to be a man that's available. If we're not available, God's not going to come and get us. God's not going to drag you out of your job. God's not going to drag you out of your hobbies or the things you're doing. If you're not made yourself available to God, say, Lord, here I am. Open a door. I'll go through. I'm available. I'm willing to go. Make a way and I will go. You're the one that's got to make yourself available. God will open the door and He will use you. You must prepare yourself and be willing to go and do the work of the Lord's. Go over in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. If you're going to be an able man in this hour, you're going to have to be dependable. You're going to have to be dependable today. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is not a question or an option there. Let me put it that way. He tells them that he must be a man who is going to be found faithful. This is required, in other words. The Scripture tells us this. Moreover, it is required. It is a requirement. Just as you have different things. If you join the army, if you join this, or you do this, they have requirements. Yeah. You have to meet these requirements. You got to pass some physical tests. You got to be able to do certain things. And the Lord is telling us, if you're going to be a steward, if you're going to work and labor in the kingdom of God, you must be required. It's a requirement of that you be found faithful, church.
Yes, that's right, brother.
God cannot use a man who is not faithful.
That's right. Amen.
We got today, men are up and down. They go up and down like the stock market. I mean, you one moment they're doing good, they're on fire for God. You seem like you know they're going to be on fire. Seems like they're doing better. And it's not even a Sunday later, or a week later. They're right back down and they're not in the house of God. They're not faithful. And God cannot use men like that. God can't use a church that's up and down. We must be found, church. It is required that we be found faithful.
Amen.
Whatever God's called you to do, if it's God's called you to labor and to do things in the church, whatever God's called you and directed you to do, you must be faithful in doing that, church. When Christ gave those talents out to those different men, those different servants, And they went, and they went, and two of them doubled what God had gave to them, what Christ had gave to them. And the other went and hid it because he was afraid. I'm telling you, that was what God was trying to tell us about this man. He only had one talent. He only had one ability, so to speak, that God had gave unto him. But he didn't even take that one that he had and use it for the kingdom of God. That's what made the master angry about. He didn't tell the one that had five and gained five. He said, why couldn't you get 10 like the other? No. He wouldn't have been happy with that one steward if he would have just been faithful. He would have just been found faithful with the one that he had. But he didn't do that. He went and hid it because he was scared of the master. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Why does God expect us to be faithful? Because He is faithful. God is faithful. We would be upset. We wouldn't want to serve God if He was up and down like man does. I'm telling you, how many of you would want to come to church and wonder what God's going to be like today? Is He going to be down? Is He going to be, will He show up, or is He going to be in a bad mood? Amen? Our God's patient with us, ain't He? Amen. Our God is patient with us, because a lot of times we show up that way, don't we? Amen? You never know how some of us might show up. Amen? I'm telling you, God is faithful. If two or three will come in His name, He'll be there. Amen. He don't have to worry about if He's going to come or not, if he's slept, or if He's tired, or if He's too busy. No, He said He'll be there. Amen. And I believe God is depending on us and is requiring of us to be faithful too. Amen. We talk about we want to see God work, we want to see God move. We're going to have to be faithful, church. We're going to have to be faithful. When we're called to pray, we're going to be faithful in it. When we're called to seek God, we're going to be faithful in it, church. When we're called to do different things, God is going to expect us to be faithful. Amen. So if you're going to be an able man today and God use you, you're going to have to be faithful. Whatever your hands find to do, do it unto the Lord. Be faithful in it. Our bosses expect us to be faithful. Amen? They expect us to show up. They expect us to be here on time. They expect us to be able to do the work. They expect us, church, to do these things. I know there's times something happens here. You show up late and things like that take place. You're sick. You have to call in sick and things, whatever. I know those things happen. I understand that. But as a whole, they expect you to be faithful. You're of no value to them if you're not. If they got an assembly line and there's a person missing on that line, it's going to hurt the whole thing. If they have each person on that job does a certain task, it's going to hinder the whole production. And I don't want to, just a lack of words, when one of us fail, it hinders the whole production. It hinders the whole work. And what God has called us to do. That's why we must do our parts. That's why today it is hard for men to find, companies to find men who will be faithful to their jobs. It becomes a big headache for them. That's a lie. A lot of businesses just want to stay small. They don't want to grow because they realize when they have to start hiring a lot of help, it becomes a big headache. Are they going to show up? Are they going to come? And trying to find men who don't want a job, not just a paycheck. I believe God is looking for men who want to work for His kingdom, just don't want a blessing. Amen. Because it's not always going to be showers of blessings, church. There's going to be some sweat. There's going to be some digging. There's going to be some hard times. And I believe God wants men to be dependable. I encourage you that this morning. Be available to what God has called you to do. and be dependable in it. Be dependable. What God has called you to do, be faithful. Be a man of that's able to do more things than just one. Be willing to step out. You say, I've only got this one talent. That's all I've got. Have you tried to get any more? Have you tried to do anything else? Or are you just content with doing that one thing? Now, I'm not saying that one thing's not important, but have you tried to do anything else? We need to be men who are willing to go out and do different, try different things and try to reach out. Men of mobility and trying to go forth. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, turn over there with me, familiar passage. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. Excuse me, I said Matthew, it's Mark. Mark 16 and 15, the time of Christ's ascension. And you know, He tells them to go into all the worlds and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we must be willing to do, churches. We must be willing to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is a commandment that was given to us. Now, we may be able to go so far right here. But God's commanded us to be able to take that gospel farther than just our four walls, farther than just our community, farther than just our county, farther than just our state and our nation. He tells us to take this gospel into all the worlds. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what we are must do, church, is we must do what we can to make sure that gospel goes into all the worlds. We may not go ourselves, but we can help someone go. We must be willing to do that. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, we have this mindset, you know, the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But then we turn around and sing the song, you know, I shall not be moved. Which I know there's a different meaning there, but that's kind of the mindset people have, you know. I understand the gospel tells me go preach, but you know, that I labor and I work for this and it's mine. This is mine. This is my time. It's my home. This is what I have. I labored for it. And that's the wrong mindset. We are going to be able men, church. We must be willing to give what we have. And that includes our money, our time, our possessions, till we can see that the gospel is carried into all the worlds. You must be willing, church, to get out of our own little box. Amen? I understand what Brother Al said when he talked about talking and getting in front of people. I understand that very much. When I was growing up, I couldn't do it either. Matter of fact, when I was in school, they sent me to speech therapy and all that stuff. And you talk about being made fun of. You know how kids do that at school. But anyhow, so because of that, I probably didn't say a whole lot and just really didn't want to get up in front of anybody. And I almost thought it would be impossible to get up and share the word of the Lord. Well, that's what God's called me to do. I had to get out of my box, if I could put it that way. I had to do some things I wasn't used to doing. I was having to make some changes. Because this is what God called me to do, and He'll give you the strength and the ability to do it. And He'll help us. A lot of people talk about my son Philip being quiet. I was just like that. Just like that. And I can understand, you know. You get made fun of if you make too much noise, and you get made fun of if you're too quiet. I understand all those things. I understand that. But God has called you to do something. God will help you. God will make a way. And it doesn't have to be behind the pulpit. It doesn't necessarily have to be something of speaking. God may call and show you something that needs to be done. God can show you something that needs to be done on the church building. He can show you something that needs to be fixed. He can reveal it to you. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that exactly. How many times did you have to figure out how to fix something on your own house? Amen. I'm still talking about being able men. You say, well, so-and-so will do, well, so-and-so will do that. That's so-and-so's job. We want to always say, you know, and go tell so-and-so. Something's broke. Somebody needs something. I saw a family that was in need. And we have to run and tell the elders. And maybe God revealed it to you. So you can do something about it. Well, it's not my job. Get out of the box. Get out of the box. I didn't see no job description when I was voted in as an elder more than the qualifications to be able to teach. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But there's a lot of things I had to learn to do. There's a lot of things in my own personal job I had to learn to do. Church, in my own business, I didn't know how to do a lot of those things. I asked a lot of questions. Had to do a little reading. I had to just go and look at people's other work and see how they built that. So that's how you do that. And that's how you do that. And I had to figure it out. I had to sit down and scratch my head and say, this is how you did it, so I could get it done. Right. And don't get quiet on me. I'm still talking about able men, church. We got the work of the Lord ahead of us. We're going to grow. And they all can't fall on just certain people to do certain things. Amen. I've never got upset with my children when they got in and they tried to do something. Even though it may not have turned out the prettiest, it may not have been exactly right. But they tried. They tried. And that was my main concern. As they saw something that needed to be done and they tried to do it. Even people who work for me, if they'll try to do it, to me that person's worth something. But a person who is scared and will never do something and is always depending on somebody else to do it, they're going to have little effects. They're going to accomplish little. And God wants us, church, to be men who are men who are available, men who are dependable, and men who can, if I put it this way, multitask and do different things. Now, I know you have your experts that can do things better than others. But it takes a team, church, all of us, pulling together. As we grow, there's going to be a lot of work to do, church. And as we grow in number, this building is going to, until God provides for us to be able to build a bigger one, this building that we're in now, it's going to take a lot of wear. Yes. Amen. And there's going to be sinks to fix. There's going to be toilets to fix. There's going to be toilets to uncloth. There's going to be walls to paint. There's going to be patches to do. There's going to be things to do, church. And we got to be careful with it. Not always waiting on the next person to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I get any more amens out of that? Man, you ladies all be saying, woohoo! Amen. Get them. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm just giving you some basic, simple preaching. Amen. I know it's not a great death, but God wants us to be able men. Ain't nothing worse than seeing a sissy man. I'm telling you, it makes you sick. It makes you sick. I mean, you see them in restaurants and stuff, and you can't hardly finish your meal when somebody comes in like that. It's just, it's bad. Men who don't have no calluses on their hands and don't afraid to get dirty. Be a man. Get out and do something. Amen. God's called us to do more than to sit in the easy chair. Amen. There's a work to do. Get a hold of God in prayer. Be knowledgeable of Scriptures. You're going to raise your family and you're going to raise them to be children that are going to live separate lives and dress decent. You're going to have to be able to give an account. You're going to have to be let people know why you do these things. Don't give them a dull answer. Give them Scripture. Tell them why. Because this is what the Scripture, this is what God expects of us. This is why we don't go here. This is why we do these things. Amen.
Right.
Be men, able men. You'll give an answer. The people will ask. Amen? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. We are men. Able men are able to work together. We are laborers together with God. Amen. I'll be the first to tell you there ain't much glory in unclogging a toilet. But it has to be done sometimes. Amen. Amen. There's not much glory sometimes in painting or doing this. Trimming the bushes or doing this. Whatever. Cleaning. Working. There ain't much glory. Everybody wants that glory. They want them, you know, they want to be behind the pulpit where they get the glory. And they, you know, everybody pats them on the back and they see what you've done, what you've accomplished. I'm telling you, God sees everything you do. Whatever labors, whatever work you do. Man may never know what you've done, but God sees it. And He will not let it go by, church. He will reward. He will give that just reward, church. It's I know we like to be patted on the back, and I know we like to have the glory sometimes, church. But God will give that final glory. God will give that real reward. I'm telling you. And He tells us here that what we are to do is we are to labor together with God's. We are to labor together with God's. This is God's work. We need to establish that in our minds. First of all, this is God's work. It's not Doug Ladd, Dan Wood, Emory Samurai. It is God's work. And we are laborers together in the work of the Lord's. We must be willing, church, to find ourselves busy in the work of the Lord. We must be laborers, not loiterers, not ones that are just going to sit around. You ever see businesses or shopping areas, convenience stores where it's turned into a hangout? You know, come evenings, you know, people just start gathering, these hangouts. You ever notice those kind of places? They're trashed. Weeds growing up in the sidewalks and cracks. And, you know, it's kind of a nasty place. Because people are just sitting around, not doing what they need to do. God hasn't called us to do that. God has called us to labor. To labor. God does not tolerate lazy men. We are to labor together, He tells us, in the work of the Lord's. And God will make a way, church. God will make a way. We got sometimes our ability, sometimes our finances are limited. Sometimes we can't do, but so much, church. But we sing that song all the time, you know, little as much when God is in us. But do we practice that? Do we practice that? Do we put that to action, church? What little we can do. When this person does his little part, and this person does his part, and everybody does their part, I'm telling you, church, when we labor together, God will be glorified. He talks about the husbandry. Deal was farming along those lines. If I can put it this way, it is God's farm. We just till. We just work. We just plant. We just do what we can. It is God that gives the increase. It is God's building. It is His church. We are laborers in that church. We work. We pray. We seek God. We do what we can. And God gives the increase. Amen? Are you going to be found faithful in that? Little is much, church. I read a little story with Winston Churchill when he was a little fella. And you might have read it before, heard of it in some history books or something. But he was just a little fella, and he was over, and he was swimming with a group of kids. And he got out into a deep section, and he started to drown. And the house that they was at, the gardener, saw the Winston Churchill drowning, and he swam out there and rescued him, saved his life. And Winston Churchill's father, and his name has slipped my mind, and I'm sorry, but his father, Winston Churchill's father, turned to the gardener and said, "I really appreciate what you've done, saving my son's life. Is there anything I can do to repay you?" And the gardener said, "I would like for my son to go to college. We can't afford it." And the father, Churchill father said, "We'll pay for your son to go to college." Well, as time went by, years went by, when Winston Churchill's father was up in age and was dying. He had had caught pneumonia, was sick, and it didn't seem like there was any cure for him. They took him to one of the best doctors that there was at that time. And his name was Alexander Fleming. And he was the one that had invented or discovered penicillin. And he was able to give it to the elder Churchill. And he was able to recover. But to make the story short, that's Alexander Fleming was the son of the gardener that he sent to college. And now, years later, turned around and saved his life by being able to discover penicillin. See how that little something, that gardener, out just any man would probably have done it. Went out there and saved that boy's life. And just asked if his son could go to college. And he was, and Winston Churchill granted that, and years later was able to discover penicillin and be used on him, and it was saved. You never know what something little that you do, church, will have an effect on somebody and how it can just multiply and grow. And it can much can be accomplished when God is in it, church. When God is in it. We have to, church, be willing to labor together and be willing to work together, church. We have to bind together. There is much to do in the kingdom of God. There is much to do in the kingdom of God. And we'll all do our part. You know, you hate it on a job when you have one person that's slacking and the other people have to make up for it. You hate that. It bothers you. You don't like to see that. And it's not fair. And I believe in the work of the Lord and the kingdom of God. I believe God doesn't like it when one person is slack and says, well, somebody else will take the slack up for me. Well, that person might already be busy. Amen. And what we have to do is we have to be willing to be faithful and do our part and work and labor in the kingdom of God. How much do we give ourselves in seeking God for the services? How much do we give ourselves of the work of the Lord that we have and what God has given us? Are we doing all we can do, church? I'm still talking about able men. Amen. Able men. We are the laborers together with God. We are the laborers together with God. God's called us to this time, to this place, church. You are here. You're not here by accident. You're not here to take up a seat. You're not here to take up space and time. You are here because God has called you here for this hour to do a work in this hour. That little thing at Winston Churchill, I'm sure the finances he had, it probably didn't wasn't a big sacrifice for him to send that boy to college. But he did that, and he was able to discover that medicine. See how small things are, and how they can turn into something big. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. You still with me this morning? Amen. I'm going to close here in a minute. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he tells us, stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We must be men that are stable, stability, not wishy-washy, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But we must be men that are stable, church. Strong. He tells us there to be steadfast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. In other words, what he's talking about in that staying fast is be men of valor in this, in what God has called you. God has set you free from the bondage of sin. He has put your name And the Lamb's Book of Life. You're on your road to heaven. You are part of the church. You are the bride of Christ. He's telling us to be strong in that. But God has called you to be. He tells us to stand fast there, born in liberty with Christ, wherewith Christ has made us free. You were in bondage. He tells us, you were in bondage. And that rest of that part, he says, be not entangled again. Letting us know at one time you were entangled in these things and the things of this world and that sin, carnality, just bondage of sin. He said, he's letting us know one time you were in this bondage. But don't be entangled again and in that with the yoke of bondage. Do not let that grip you again. Do not entangle you. Stand fast. Be alert. They talk about boxers and boxing match. When they're in a match, they talk about a lot of times when the one gets knocked out is because he let his guard down. He let his guard down. He dropped his fist a little bit and the other competitor saw it and laid him out. That's what the devil will do, church. You let your guard down a little bit and Satan will come in like a roaring lion, church. He will come in and he will devour you. He's telling us to stand fast, to be alert, to be strong. Know what's going on around you. A lot of men don't even know what's happening in their own kids' bedrooms.
Right.
In their own kids' houses.
Right.
In their own house. They don't know what's going on. And God's telling us to be alert. Be aware of what is happening around you. Be strong, church. Stand fast. If you let your guard down, you'll be a goner. Satan will take you. A lot of times we turn around, we wonder, why is he out of sin? Why is he doing these things? Because you didn't react years ago. You were too busy. A lot of fathers were too busy doing their thing, playing their games, doing this and that. And they didn't realize what their own children were getting into. Stand fast. Don't let your guard down. Be willing, church, to stand strong in this hour. Be able men. It might sound like a little pep rally tonight this morning, but I'm trying to encourage you. Be men. God has called us to do. To be. The work of the Lord. No wimp's going to accomplish it. No spiritual wimp will accomplish it, church. Be strong. Amen. There was a William Booth. Most of you now probably know who that is. Anybody? Salvation Army? Amen. Right. As he grew old and aged, he became blind. And but he didn't give up. He didn't quit. And he told his helpers and his son, I believe it was his son, I may be wrong on that. But he told them, he told them that when I had my eyes, I did all I could for the work of the Lord. He said, now I want to do all I can for the work of the Lord without my eyes. He didn't quit. I appreciate Brother Knox pushing on. Sometimes he probably feels feeble and tired. He pushes on. Be men of value. Be men that you're not going to let every little thing bring you down. God will see you through. God will help us, church. Be men that are available for the work of the Lord. Be dependable. Be men that are dependable. Be men that are mobile, if I could put it that way. Men that are... The best words I can describe is willing to get out of your box.
Right.
Are willing to do something that maybe you've never done before.
Right.
Go somewhere you may never have gone. Do something different. be men are compatible. Let's work together. If we do not work together, we'll go backwards. We will go down. We will fall. And be men that are stable. Strong. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring us, church. We're going to have to be strong. We don't know when heavy persecution may break out. They may start setting churches on fire. Whatever they may do, church, we're going to have to be strong. If iniquity keeps abounding and the love of many have waxed cold, they're going to get harder and harder on those who take a stand for truth. And if you're weak, you will fall and you will join them. You must be strong. You must be strong. Amen. Can you stand this morning? I hope I said something that will encourage you men. Praise God. Man, if we fail, it will not work. God has called us to take a stand. And if we fail, the ladies can do what they can do, church, but they can only go so far. And I don't say that belittling anybody. That's God's design. That's God's plan. So I put it this way. The burden is on you men. The load is on you men. Will you take that stand and be the father, be the man that God has called you to do? I'd like for us in closing, would each one of you men, I know it's Father's Day, but I kind of address this to our men. Would each one of you men come up here this morning and can we just pray? Would you do that, all the men?